Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Heidi Moore from The Guardian, in for Brian Lehrer. We might be headed home from the beach and back to school, but at least fall is also the new TV season for us couch potatoes. Even in these days of binge viewing, mid-season startups, and Netflix or Hulu exclusives, the tradition seems to hold. To talk about some of the brand new shows and returning favorites, I'm joined by New York Magazine's TV critic, Matt Zoller-Seitz. Welcome back to the show, Matt.
Thank you so much.
It's almost quaint, don't you think, the way shows are still listed as airing on a particular night? With so many people time-shifting with their DVRs or streaming devices, but the idea of a season premiere endures.
It does, and it's because it's the new. It's something we haven't seen before, and I think that still has a bit of cachet, even if the circumstances surrounding it really don't anymore.
Yes, and there are a few shows that I'm looking forward to, and I want to know if our listeners are too. Listeners, is there a new show you're hoping lives up to its hype? Even if you mainly watch via video streaming, will you tune in to the new shows? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or post your comment to the webpage at WNYC.org. We're reading those too. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. So, Matt, here's what I'm really looking forward to.
Okay.
Is it true that you're having an affair with the president?
My name is out there. We need to make a plan.
They will gut you like everyone you know.
I will pull out our laundry and I will share it with the world.
Start a kill folder on Olivia Pope.
What did you do?
So I have to wait until October, which feels so unfair, for the new season of Scandal. And let's go through some of the brand new shows.
I didn't know the Michael J. Fox show was that intense.
Well, if they have a kill list on Michael J. Fox, we'll really have to watch.
It's actually sweet, but anyway.
Yeah. So, Matt, is there a particular new show that you're really looking forward to?
Well, yeah. I mean, and the caveat that I usually offer when I write about these new shows, they send critics maybe the pilot, maybe one or two more episodes. So I always have a caveat that this is based on what they did at the very beginning. And usually television shows take a while to figure out exactly what they are. Even the good shows do. But the Michael J. Fox show is very promising because it's Michael J. Fox, and it's a perfect part for him. It's not just because he's kind of playing himself, but it's a very, very sweet and generous and loving kind of show, which is nice. I'm just not thrilled by a lot of the new shows this year. Some of the comedies are kind of nice, but there's nothing where I'm running around evangelizing about it, which usually there's one show every fall that I feel that way about, and it's usually a show that gets canceled in about 3 weeks. That's sort of how I roll.
Yeah, you usually watch the pilots, right? I mean, can you tell that quickly if a show's going to be worth it?
You can usually tell if there's potential. You can usually tell. Once in a while, you'll get a show that seems to be okay, but not particularly special, and then something happens like halfway through season one or somewhere in season two, and you go, holy cow, that's a really good show. I mean, I think Scandal is an example of that, actually. Not to bring everything back around to Scandal, but why shouldn't we?
Right. I'm in the tank for that show.
Kind of am, too. In the first half season, I thought, this is kind of, it's basically 24 in Pumps, you know? I mean, that's kind of what it turned into, but yeah. it was like a West Wing plus PR plus some kind of soap kind of trashiness, but then in season two it just went, it did a full-on Jack Bauer and just became completely nuts. I'm a fan of the completely nuts show. I love American Horror Story for that reason, and I'm looking forward to the return of Homeland, even though season two was really a mess. Yeah. I mean, with some great moments, but all over the place.
Yeah, and you know, there are themes beyond, of course, our favorite, which looks like our favorite, the CIA thriller. In looking through the list, I see some other themes. For one thing, the family sitcom seems alive and well, if a little different. And you mentioned Michael J. Fox as a dad dealing with Parkinson's disease in his new show, or teenage pregnancy in the show Welcome to the Family. It could be tricky blending the comedy with the real issues here, right?
Yeah, it can be. I think, I don't know, the family sitcom is really just such a workhorse. It's so durable, and it's something that the networks can always return to and take a chance on. And there are a lot of different permutations of it on the air. And you've got present day stuff, you've got edgy stuff, you've got soft stuff, and of course, again, a lot of these. I think the biggest problem with all of these shows is you tell people, this is good or oh, this is great, you should watch it, but people are really reluctant to commit. They're just really reluctant to commit, and can you blame them? You know, a lot of these shows, even if they are good, even if they are promising, the bottom line drives every decision. And do you want to invest your time? 3 episodes, 4 episodes, 6 episodes in a show, and it's gone. Just waiting for Netflix is an option for more and more people because they don't want to invest in something like that way, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd never know when those awkward issues are going to come up. I mean, here's a bit of the trailer for that Michael J. Fox show that shows how they're trying to blend the family themes with some of those more awkward themes. He's just inadvertently called 911 instead of 917, and his wife's cell phone and the police have burst in.
I'm fine. I said I was fine on the phone.
Doesn't matter. We have to respond.
Since we're both here, can I get you to sign an autograph? My uncle's got Alzheimer's.
I've actually got Parkinson's.
Either way.
So
yeah, yeah. He's a charmer. He's a charmer. And I was thinking about him on the subway on the way here, and about how. You remember when Family Ties was on the air and he was a supporting character, and then within a matter of about a season or so, he was unquestionably the star?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It seems to happen on TV shows a lot. Like, our attention goes to whoever's the most interesting character, and he was that. And I think he might be that again.
Yeah, I have to say I've spent most of my career as a reporter covering Wall Street, and his character on Family Ties is basically the model for the Wall Street banker.
Yeah, ironically, because they were making fun of that kind of guy at the time. But,
exactly.
You know, yeah.
No, it's Alex P. Keaton all the way. So... okay, so we have a caller, actually, Abby from Brooklyn, who wants to talk about some of the shows she's looking forward to. Abby, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hey.
You're a man, so let me correct myself.
I know. First of all, definitely a great show. I am very excited about House of Cards. Netflix was mentioned, House of Cards, and Game of Thrones. I was a reluctant Game of Thrones. I was reluctant to adopt watching Game of Thrones, but I mean, I could not stop watching after the second episode. The first episode was kind of a drag, but House of Cards, without a doubt. Newsroom was a little bit of a letdown this season, the second season, but I'm really excited about House of Cards.
Hmm.
Right. So what do you think about the Netflix shows, Matt?
I've been, for the most part, very impressed with the Netflix original shows. House of Cards, maybe not so much as some of the others. It's a very good show, but it's not... It reminds me of a show that would have been on Showtime 5 or 6 years ago, and you would keep forgetting to watch it. I mean, I think the fact that it was on...
Harsh.
Well, I mean, you know, it is a good show. It's a great cast. It looks great. It's involving. But it's not as kind of stunning structurally as Orange is the New Black or the fourth season of Arrested Development, both of which were Netflix originals. And I think what Netflix is doing to storytelling is quite remarkable. I've written a little bit about that, but... But yeah, the Netflix shows are kind of the next frontier, I think, because they can do everything that a traditional show would do, and they can also do things that traditional shows couldn't get away with because you got to wait a week to see the next episode.
Right, and they're also on a different kind of calendar, Breaking Bad. I know so many people obsessed with this show. It's midway through its final season, right?
It is.
Don't spoil it, but do you know how it ends?
I don't know how it ends, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but I am just going to go on record here and say that the episode airing Sunday night, exactly 1 second after that ends, the internet will explode. It's really quite an amazing episode. I'm not going to tell you what happens, but just writing and directing wise, and acting wise, and everything wise, it's pretty incredible.
It's going to be bigger than Sharknado, you're telling me?
I don't know about that. Nothing is bigger than Sharknado. We'll always have Sharknado.
It's the highest bar that has been set by TV recently, sadly. What's really interesting is that we also have sci-fi and fantasy shows. I call this the Twilight category, but
yeah,
I don't think anyone needs to endorse that.
Right.
But, you know, they're supernatural superheroes, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Almost Human, which pairs a human cop with an android. Have the geek-friendly shows, for lack of a better term, been hits on the major networks?
They have it's difficult. There are a lot of reasons why it's difficult. One of them is that movies have escalated scale to the degree that it's very, very hard for even a well-budgeted TV show to compete. That's why superhero shows have traditionally had such trouble surviving, although Arrow made it, and now we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is pretty good. But yeah, there is a lot of that. There's Dracula. There's the sequel to Once Upon a Time, and the title that's escaping me at the second.
I think Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
That's right. It is. Yes. And the beautiful thing is they can just keep adding, you know,
words.
Yeah, a preposition and a noun, and they can have another show next year. You know.
Right. Exactly. And well, also
Once Upon a Time in Narnia. Once Upon a Time in Vegas. Wait a minute. No.
Which should be really helpful because we also have a show coming up called Sleepy Hollow, which brings the Headless Horseman and Ichabod Crane to the present day. So that should be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these feel like, you know, old WB shows, even though they're not on, you know, they couldn't be on the WB.
Yeah. And so we have a listener, John from NYC, who has written into the website. He comments that he's looking forward to the new show with James Spader, The Blacklist. He says it looks very interesting from the commercial. What do you think?
I'm so totally on for that show because it's the standard kind of wannabe Hannibal Lecter sort of dynamic. I mean, he's basically Hannibal Lecter. There's always some kind of mysterious bad guy who knows all and sees all and is everywhere at once, and he's basically that guy. But it's James Spader. I mean, you know, he could sit there and read the ingredients of a box of cornflakes and you'd love it.
I'd watch it.
He's fantastic. He's, you know, he's a comedian and a straight man, and he's the same guy.
Yeah. So really quickly, can you give us some hints on what's coming up for Boardwalk Empire and Homeland without spoilers?
I have not watched the new episodes of Homeland, and I have a DVD of the new season of Boardwalk Empire sitting at home, which I haven't cracked open yet. But I'm not the world's biggest Boardwalk Empire fan. I'm a little more of if you want to go for kind of critically not quite there shows, but that I love, Sons of Anarchy is my show.
Oh.
And that's coming back this week. And I really like Sons of Anarchy. It's like basically it's Biker Days of Our Lives. It's what it is. And it's kind of unabashedly that. And it's very it's grungy. It's like, you know, the critic Manny Farber talked about the difference between elephant and termite art. That's termite art.
That's excellent. We'll have to leave it there. I've been talking with New York Magazine's Matt Zoller-Seitz. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you so much.
I'm so much more looking forward to hanging out on my couch. And I'm Heidi Moore, filling in for Brian Lehrer, who is back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.